This podcast delves into the dark, the depraved, and all things to keep you up at night. Listener discretion is advised. Now, sit back, pull the covers over your head, and allow yourself to be taken on a journey through the abyss.
On August 7th, 21-year-old Angelina Tran was allegedly stabbed over 100 times by her stepfather, Nguyen Can Chau, at a house in Seattle's Beacon Hill neighborhood. Court documents show this murder appeared to be the result of anger at Angelina for intervening in the stepfather's attack on her mother.
We do generally see when the person who intervenes is a member of the family, that is perceived as particularly threatening, as particularly egregious behavior, and must be stopped.
Deirdre Bowen is the director of Seattle U's Family Law Center and specializes in domestic violence cases. She says Angelina's death supports an unfortunate statistic about domestic violence homicides.
20% of the homicides that occur during domestic violence are from not the abuser to the victim, but rather to a third party that's intervening.
And it's not just family that can be impacted.
By far, the greatest lethality, the risk of death for the police officer, occurred when they showed up at a domestic violence call.
Court documents show that Angelina's intervention allowed her mother to escape to a nearby bedroom and call 911. During that time, Seattle Police says Angelina was attacked multiple times.
It is a devastating story of how absolutely frightening domestic violence can be.
Bowen says it's an impossible situation, but the best option is escaping to a more public area.
The difficulty is that Angelina, in this case, is watching her mother being beaten so badly that this person is clearly attempting to kill her mother.
Chow is charged with first-degree murder and attempted murder. His arraignment has been pushed back for medical reasons. Angelina was a University of Washington student and engineering professor. Julie Kind said in a statement that she was a superb student and very enthusiastic about design research, and she will be greatly missed. The university says it has counselors available for students, staff, and faculty.
Hey there, pod people. Welcome to Through the Abyss podcast. Tonight, I am with Steve. This is Ben. And we are going to be looking at the tragic murder of Angelina Tran. And you just heard a news source discussing domestic violence and really looking at the fact that this person being a member of the household, being a family member, was egregious to Neep Chow, right, who is the person who took Angelina's life. But we'll go into all of that and we'll cover the story after we kind of just check in with each other. So, Steve, what are you doing for this upcoming holiday?
I am just spending time with the family. The boys have some friends doing some sleepovers, and they're excited, and I'm just trying to keep my house from exploding.
Nice. I will just be working, so I don't have a whole lot going on at all. So, for me, it's not really going to be much a holiday, but it is what it is. I'm not complaining, because, to be honest with you, I'm pretty much a homebody anyways, you know that. So,
yeah.
Alright, so let's look at Angelina Tran, and I just want to start by saying that, you know, most of the stories we cover victimized, right? They're people that are tragically murdered, tragically dropped their baby in a dumpster, like, they're cases where the people kind of are caught off blue, or they're doing something bad, right? But in this case, I would say that Angelina Tran is nothing short of an absolute hero.
Yeah. Most of the murders that we look at are, there's a motive of greed or of anger, and that the murder is kind of a slow build. This one,
it's weird.
Yeah, it's all just awful.
It's all just awful. Yeah, it's like I actually like feel bad inside even covering this story to an extent, but I feel like this is such a tragic thing that this person's story needs to be told, especially because of domestic violence. However, this person Neep Chow doesn't really seem to have domestic violence history, at least not criminal history. I'm sure that he probably had to have had some sort of outbursts, or I don't know. I don't know how he just snapped like this, but...
Violence is a really underreported issue. Mm-hmm. Really underreported. Oftentimes, when you do have domestic violence, it's because somebody outside of the home is made aware of it. Either they can hear it happening, or it happens in public somewhere. But quite often, and we don't know these people, but I wonder, I have to imagine that this has been building. Mm-hmm. And that this is something that he's done to her, to his wife, Angelina Tran's mother, more than just this one time.
Yeah. I mean, it would seem almost impossible not to, but so Angelina Tran, she's a 21-year-old engineering student who's attending the University of Washington, Seattle. She's staying with her mom and her stepdad, who is Neep. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Anyways, she's woken up in the middle of the night super early, because by the time the police get there, it's 4:55 a.m., and she's woken up to a domestic dispute between her mom and her stepfather. Her stepfather later says that the argument started when his wife, who he just married a year prior, although they had been together 19 years, so that's a little sketch to begin with, in my opinion. I don't know, not to judge people who live together forever without getting married, but strange to be together 19 years and you're only married one. But that said, they're having an argument over money, and Neep says that even though Angelina's mother never said it, he thought that she was going to leave him and try to take his money, which caused him to punch her in the face. And then this guy just snaps, right? Like, so the police said every bit of 15 punches to the face. This is all on camera, by the way. The house has CCTV, and they know exactly how many punches, and they know exactly how many times Angelina was stabbed, which is also an egregious amount. But the mother is being punched 15 times. Angelina wakes up and goes after this guy. That's why I say she's a hero. She's like, not my mom, mother effer, right? And attacks this guy, and she holds on to him, and they fall to the ground. The police say from the video, he stabs her approximately 107 times, most of it with one knife, and then another with a meat cleaver that he stops to get out of a drawer. He also stops in the middle of stabbing her to change his outfit, which is very bizarre, right? Like, and she was fighting him off pretty well, they say, but she at some point turned her back on him and he stabbed her in the back, and then he continues to stab her 107 times. So it's a large kitchen knife that he uses mostly. And when the police get there at 4:55 a.m., Neep Keen Chow is holding this kitchen knife, and they order him to drop it, which he does. He has an interpreter on the site. They bring an interpreter onto the site, and he says, I killed somebody. So he's very telling in what happened. He's not hiding that. And the only reason that he hasn't started his court journey is because he's currently not in physical condition to go. So I think he's in the hospital or something like that. He's got a bail set for him for $5 million because of the extreme amount of domestic violence. And this part was in there too, but it was like, I feel like you don't really need to say this, but he does have a restraining order against him as far as contacting his wife. And well, yeah, I would certainly hope so. You just murdered her daughter and punched her in the face 15 times. If there isn't a restraining order, there's a travesty, right? So this story's horrific, and a lot of the video is out there as far as at least the violence against the mother. I'm not sure how much they show of the stabbings, but I personally am not going to even look for that video. I don't know about you, Steve.
No, I haven't even seen the video of the punching, because I
haven't either.
See that at all. I saw a video. I'm surprised, I didn't realize it was in the middle of the night, because I saw a video where it was in their kitchen. It was their camera in their home.
Yeah, that's the video.
Like, he was at the sink, and she comes walking over, and it said something about, in the video, that, like, this is right before, like, he attacks her. And so it didn't show the attack, but it showed, like, right before it.
Okay. And you're talking about Angelina approached him.
No, this is
mom. Oh, the mother. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes more sense.
In there, yeah. This was before any violence had occurred. This is right before the stepdad, I don't even want to say his name, but attacks his wife, attacks Angelina's mom, and then that's before everything gets started.
Yeah, it's a really screwy case, because they said, I mean, I know what you said is right, it's underreported, there's definitely incidents that have probably occurred, but, like, as far as a record, they said that most this dude has is a fishing violation, which I assume he got caught fishing without a license, which could happen to a lot of people, right? Because I think we've all been there at some point, at least when we were little kids, fishing without a license. It's shocking that after 19 years, this dude just completely loses his shit. Like, beyond return, loses his shit. Because he's actually being charged with murder, one, and attempted murder, because the 15 punches to his wife's face, he was trying to kill her too, right? He was going to kill her.
Well, if she was with him for 19 years before he got married, part of me thinks that there were already red flags that she was seeing, and you wonder, you know, since he had to have an interpreter there, he's obviously immigrated from his home country, and I'm not sure, looking at the name, I'm not sure, are they Vietnamese or...
they're Vietnamese.
Vietnamese, okay.
Yeah.
So, he obviously immigrated, and so I wonder how many of those 19 years he was in a different country.
Right.
And they were, you know, corresponding, or they had known each other, their families knew each other, something like that. And you wonder if maybe parts of him weren't seen, but I don't know. And if he's got money, then maybe, you know, he didn't come over here for her. Maybe I'm wrong, but there's something odd about their relationship then, if they were together for that long of a time, but only married for a short amount of time.
Yeah, and they do say that he has sizable money, right? So that's interesting that you brought that up, but it's also why, like, he thought she would try to divorce him and take some of his money, right? Which is crazy that would cause you to murder somebody when it's like, he probably was well off enough that he didn't really have to worry, even if she decided to divorce him. But from the video you're discussing, or that we've discussed, and, like, you saw a part of it, it's like she kind of walks up to him. We don't know if maybe there was prior stuff, but it doesn't even look like it's like, I'm going to divorce you and take all your money. And he says, she doesn't actually say that. He just felt that. So it's like, all of a sudden, this dude just gets this, like, insane amount of paranoia and just goes, like, buck wild. It's crazy. Like, it's really sad that he can be relatively normal, right, to where he puts 19 years together. And like you said, he might not have been with her physically the whole time, but somehow he maintains his shit enough to be okay, and then he just snaps and, like, is gonna kill her, and then he kills the daughter. And, like we heard in the earlier video, right, if it's a family member, insulting, right, to him, so he flips out. And they said in that video too, right, like, domestic violence cases are, like, when the police are the most in danger.
Oh yeah, no, domestic violence is a precursor to horrific things. Like, if a man commits domestic violence against a woman, the chances that that woman will die at the hands of that man go up exponentially. And, you know, there's no, like, you know, when they study gun violence, and I know there's no guns involved in this case, but when they study gun violence, the one link that is as strong as any other is that if a gun owner commits domestic violence, the chance that they will then use that gun on their partner at some point in the future rises like 800%. It's insane. And so they flirted with laws. The federal government, I know during Obama's administration and different states, have flirted with the law that if you are convicted of domestic violence, or even in some cases, if you are indicted on domestic violence charges, your weapons are revoked.
Wow.
Your guns are broken, because the chances are then that you will use them on your partner. It's domestic violence is such a horrific crime, but it speaks to much, much more violence and terrible things to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And this person just woke up to this and sees it happening, and like I said, she's heroic because she saved her mom, but it cost her life, so it's just a very sad thing, right?
Angelina Tran.
Yeah.
And she's 21 years old. I don't know. After you sent me some videos on her, Ben, I tried to do, and neither of us are journalists, and you know, we've been doing this just on stories that we find, and we do a little bit of research, but we're not, you know, experts at that at all. And so I was trying to find anything I could about her, and I found a couple like TikTok videos.
Yeah.
From what appeared to be her, and she just looks so, you know, sweet and innocent and full of life in those videos. And then I found her Instagram, which I'm sure a lot of people did as well, and it's full of artwork. She was a design, you know, she was in the engineering and design department there at the University of Washington, and she's got these just beautiful drawings, and I don't know how many she did or didn't, but like you can tell that she's just living this very vibrant artistic life, and she seems like such an amazing person to be around or to know. I have to imagine that there are a lot of people who are incredibly brokenhearted now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they described her as an incredible daughter, cherished friend, perfect girlfriend. Everybody loved her. Her grades were great. She was going to graduate in a year, and they actually made a GoFundMe for her where they got $20,000 saved or up from it, which they're going to donate to the National Asian Pacific Center on Aging, which reflected her spirit and commitment to helping elderly lives. So she was interested in taking care of the elderly as well. So she just sounds like an absolutely amazing human being. So, I mean, not that anyone should die, but like, this is just a horrific tragedy.
No, and when people marshal their forces that quickly in the wake of a tragedy, that means that there were a lot of people who were in a lot of pain thinking, what can I do?
Right.
What can we do? And when they reached out, there were a lot of people responding, yes, I want it. This she meant something. And so it's a beautiful tribute to her. It's sad that, you know, it was her death that you know, caused this to happen. But, you know, I saw in that video that you played a little snippet of, the news video, that they had a quote from one of the professors mm-hmm. at the University of Washington, and the instructors were, you know, very complimentary and heartbroken over it, and the university itself was going to provide counseling. And again, you know, both of us have gone to college, and both of us have gone to multiple colleges because we didn't always do what you're supposed to do the first time around.
Yeah.
But you know what it's like, you know, the professors don't know all their students.
No, not at all. Especially in the University of Washington's huge.
Yeah. And so, you know, for them to immediately come out with a statement on her, you know, she was a bright light. She shone brightly.
Yeah, absolutely. They said her smile was bright and huge, and yeah, people loved her for sure. It's just a horrific story. Like I said, it was one where, like, when you really look at the details and you see, like I said, I didn't watch the video either, but just see, like, the setup of it, which you kind of said you saw too. It's like, it's almost a story you don't even want to do. But I just felt like this person was such an absolute heroic and special human being that her story needs to be out there. And I know it is. There's multiple sources where you can find more information on Angelina Tran. But, yeah, she was just a special human being.
And all that said, I am very perplexed by the crime. Like you said, he's never been convicted of domestic violence before or even accused of it from what you can tell. And again, like, maybe I'm being jaded by saying that I bet he's done it before and it just wasn't reported. And maybe, you know, maybe he pushed or slapped or, you know, like something that his wife, you know, that Angelina's mother maybe wrote off at the time, like, oh, this is nothing, or it was an accident, he didn't mean to do it that much, or whatever, or maybe he didn't. Maybe this is a psychotic break, because the crime really sounds like a psychotic break.
It does, yeah.
Attacking his wife, you know, Angelina's mother, that many times, that ferociously, with his fists, is horrific enough. That's terrible, and it really speaks to somebody who is snapped from reality.
Right.
But then, when Angelina tries to, you know, get involved and help her mother, and her mother's still alive, correct?
Her mother is still alive. She actually ran to the other room to call 911, and Angelina held on to him, and they fell to the floor, and her mom's, yeah, okay.
So undoubtedly, Angelina saved her mom's life.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Without a doubt. So he comes in to save her mother's life, and then the stepfather turns all of his rage on her. Now, I've said this before, and I've heard other podcasters say this, like, get a watermelon and take a kitchen knife out and try to stab it 107 times. And I'm not saying this because, you know, like, to glorify the gore of it. I'm saying, like, rage is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, attacking someone with rage, but when you get that adrenaline spike, it that burst doesn't last that long.
No, and this was so weird because he stopped and changed his clothes, and they say he took multiple breaks in the stabbing. So he had, like, fucking just this crazy rage, right, where he, like, was able to rest his arm and then go back at it. Like, it's like, at that point, she'd probably been dead for 50 stabs ago, right?
And he changes his clothes, he changes his knife, right?
He changes
to a knife.
Meat cleaver,
and,
yeah.
And I don't care what kind of, like, ergonomic handle design you have on those knives. When you stab something that ferociously 107 times, I'm wondering if the health issues that he's facing that have delayed his trial aren't related to injuries that he inflicted on himself. Because, like, your hand's going to slip on that knife. You're going to end up stabbing yourself. I have to imagine, anyway. And so, you know, I'm sure he was just, you know, absolutely physically demolished by it as well, by this attack. Not the way she was, but going through his mind or his, you know, adrenaline gland. I mean, was this drug-induced? Is he mentally ill, and this was an episode of some kind? Not only is it not normal, it's not human.
No. It's really weird. And it's, like, weird that they're even up discussing anything in the middle of the night. First of all, I mean, like, I'm not a night owl, but, like, I don't know the exact time of it, but the fact that the police didn't get there till 4:55, I figure this was, like, the wee hours of the morning. And then, yeah, he just has this crazy snap where, like, And to add to what you're saying, like, when the police talked to him, he, through the interpreter, like, said, he says, I killed somebody, like, almost in disbelief. Like, he doesn't even know why or what, you know, he's, like, in shock that he did it.
I don't know. And I've never felt that, anything close to that level of rage before. I can't imagine what that's like.
Yeah, I don't think most people have. I think they'd be in prison, right? I don't think most people have come to this, right? That's just, it's amazing. Like, that this person, like I said, like, I get it, what you're saying. It makes sense that he's probably had episodes before, but, like, that he's been relatively okay to where, like, I mean, maybe you can abuse the wife and keep her in your control, but I don't see Angelina Tran even, like, sleeping over if she's witnessed something like this before. Like, I feel like he's been relatively controlled.
And, you know, I don't know. It's hard to know what kind of darkness people live in.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people out there that are living in darkness that they fight every day to keep away from the world. And so, you know, this was either the most horrifically incomprehensible episode of domestic violence and terror and murder, or this was the eventual end to a very, very dark history in that family.
Yeah.
That house.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't know which one's better.
Yeah, I don't know which one's better either, because honestly, like, if there had been this dark history, it's kind of like the mother at least escaped. But, like, if there's no dark history, it's like, what the... She didn't just lose just her daughter. She also lost this person who's been her love for 19 years, right? I don't know. There's nothing good about it. It's all horrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was devastated when I saw it. And, like I said, doing a little dive into her, just so sad. Because, like, again, I you know, I look at her and I think, like, she could have been my student four or five years ago, you know, sitting in class. And I think about the life that somebody that young and that vibrant, you know, would have and was living, and, you know, it breaks my heart.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, pod people, I know this was a rough one. Yeah, and a relatively short one. It's just like, I don't know, you know, other than just really putting out there that if you are in a situation where you're being abused or someone in your family's being abused in this kind of way, right, like, if this was a case where there were signs, right, these need to be reported, right, as soon as humanly possible, so that situations like this can't escalate, right? If this was something they were enduring for 19 years, for the love of God, it should have never happened, right?
Yeah, and violence in the home, it never goes away. It never gets better. It only increases in severity until something horrifically tragic happens. And, you know, I it's so hard to live as a you know, an abused spouse, as an abused person. It's such a difficult life, and you're making choices on a daily basis that you believe are best for you and your family. But yeah, I would encourage anyone who has experienced, you know, domestic violence to make sure that you seek help as quickly and as safely as possible.
Absolutely. All right, pod people. Well, that is our Angelina Tran episode. So thank you for joining us tonight. And as always, you can find us on throughtheabysspodcast.com. You can like, subscribe on any of the podcast platforms. You can reach out to us on Facebook and just let us know how we're doing and what you like, what you don't like, and if there's any topics you want us to discuss in the future. All right. So thank you, pod people. And if you or someone you know is experiencing a domestic violence incident or issues, contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE, which is 7233. 1-800-799-SAFE. And as always, pod people, keep it real.